Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil.
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before, so if this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com, where you can also download all of our archives for free, as well as a free Kindle edition of our two books, and a free Healing Scriptures Set to Music MP3 download. We also have brand new links on our site for you to order your Pure Shaman 100% undefiled essential oils while earning points toward discounts on your next order. Again, please visit us at www.hiswordheals.com. The premise of this program each week is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13-17. You are part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined throughout His entire Word. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. United we stand, divided we fall, is a motto that has been used throughout the history of the United States of America, originating in the fourth verse of a 1768 patriotic ballad, The Liberty Song by John Dickinson. However, the idea of standing united goes back much further than 1768 in the Word of Yahweh. Ephesians 4 is all about unity. I call upon you, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Master, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being eager to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you also were called in one expectation of your calling, one Master, one belief, one immersion, one Elohim and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us favor was given according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. That is why it says, when he went up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. But what does he went up mean, except that he also first went down into the lower parts of the earth? He who went down is also the one who went up for above all the heavens to fill all. And he himself gave some as emissaries, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the set-apart ones, to the work of service to a building up of the body of the Messiah, until we all come to the unity of the belief and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the completeness of Messiah, so that we should no longer be children, tossed and borne about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men in cleverness unto the craftiness of leading astray, but maintaining the truth in love, we grow up in all respects into Him who is the head, Messiah, and from whom the entire body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the working by which each part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So this I say and witness in the Master, that you should no longer walk as the nations walk, in the futility of their mind, having been darkened in their understanding, having been estranged from the life of Elohim, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, who, having become callous, have given themselves up to indecency, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned, Messiah, if indeed you have heard him and were taught by him, as truth is in Yeshua, that you put off, with regard to your former behavior, the old man, being corrupted according to the desires of the deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the renewed man, which was created according to Elohim, in righteousness and set apartness of the truth. Therefore, having put off the false, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be wroth, but sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your rage, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, so that he has somewhat to share with those in need. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for the use of building up, so as to impart what is pleasant to the hearers. And do not grieve the set-apart spirit of Elohim, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and displeasure and uproar and slander be put away from you, along with all evil, and be kind towards one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Elohim also forgave you in Messiah. This passage tells us we are part of one body, the body of Messiah. Multiple other verses tell us there is only one Elohim, or God, and there is only one Messiah, who is one with our Elohim, as we are told in 1 Corinthians 8:6. For us there is one Elohim, the Father, from whom all came, and for whom we live, and one Master, Yeshua, Messiah, through whom all came, and through whom we live. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one Elohim, and one mediator between Elohim and men, the man, Messiah, Yeshua. Then in Mark 12:29-33, Yeshua sums it all up in the two greatest commandments. And Yeshua answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim, Yahweh is one, and you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first command, and the second, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one Elohim, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all of the understanding, and with all of the being, and with all of the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the ascending offerings and offerings." Yeshua himself said in John 17:20-22, "And I do not pray for these alone, but also for those believing in me through their word, so that they all might be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, so that they too might be one in us, so that the world might believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, so that they might be one as we are one." Unity, or being echad, one in Hebrew, is an important principle in Scripture. The problem of division in the body of Messiah has been a problem from the beginning, one which Paul himself addresses in 2 Corinthians 1:10. "And I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be knit together in the same mind and in the same opinion." 1 Corinthians 1:11-31. "For I have been informed concerning you, my brothers, by those of the house of Chloe, that there are strifes among you. What I mean is this, that each one of you says, I am of Shaul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Kepha, or I am of Messiah. Has the Messiah been divided? Was Shaul, or Paul, impaled for you? Or were you immersed in the name of Paul or Shaul? I thank Elohim that I immersed not one of you except Crispus and Gaius, that no one should say that I immersed into my own name. Now I did also immerse the household of Stephanas. For the rest I do not know whether I immersed anyone else. For Messiah did not send me to immerse, but to bring the good news, not with wisdom of words, that the stake of Messiah should not be nullified. For the word of the stake is indeed foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of Elohim. For it has been written, I shall destroy the wisdom of the wise, and set aside the learning of the learned ones. Where is the wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not Elohim made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of Elohim the world through wisdom did not know Elohim, it pleased Elohim through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And since Yehudim ask a sign, and Greeks seek wisdom, yet we proclaim Messiah impaled to the Yehudim a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Yehudim and Greeks, Messiah, the power of Elohim, and the wisdom of Elohim. For the foolishness of Elohim is wiser than men, and the weakness of Elohim is stronger than men. For look at your calling, brothers, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But Elohim has chosen the foolish matters of the world to put to shame the wise, and Elohim has chosen the weak of the world to put to shame the strong. And Elohim has chosen the low-born of the world, and the despised, and the ones that are not, that he might bring to naught the ones that are, so that no flesh should boast in his presence. And of him you are in Messiah Yeshua, who became for us wisdom from Elohim, righteousness also, and set-apartness, and redemption, that, as it has been written, he who boasts, let him boast in Yahweh. Even today, especially in the Hebraic roots, Torah observant Messianic or first century believer groups, in other words, those of us who profess to believe the entire word of Yahweh, there is much division. Calendar, pronunciation of his name, etc. These should not be dividing us. As Paul so eloquently says, our focus should be on Yeshua Messiah, and we should boast in him alone, not in the newest calendar theory or the latest uncovered pronunciation of his name. We should prayerfully go down the road he has set before each one of us, individually, not focused on where our neighbor's path differs from our own. We need to put all of those differences aside and meet together in all humbleness, sharing in love what we have learned and listening in love to what others have been learning as well, with all respect, knowing that we are all on a different path, yet we are all part of the same body. I love to midrash or compare notes and share things that Father has been showing my husband and I with others. I also love watching teachings of longtime servants who are clearly immersed in the Word and serving Yahweh with their entire lives. Whenever our thoughts and what Abba has been showing us match up with what others have been sharing as well, it is so exciting to get this second witness. Conversely, when what we've been shown doesn't match up and we go back and take another look to see if perhaps we were mistaken in our understanding, but can't make what they've shared reconcile with our understanding of Scripture, it can be a little disturbing. I used to think, who's right? Are we totally missing something? Or are we deceived? Or are they totally missing something? Or are they deceived? How can our understandings of Scripture be so different? Then I heard a comment on this very subject from Mike Clayton, if I remember correctly. He suggested the answer to a question like this, of who's right, is yes. Yes, perhaps both are right. When Scripture doesn't clearly say thou shalt or thou shalt not, and two people see two different interpretations of the same Scripture, which don't outright contradict other Scriptures, perhaps they are both right. Perhaps Yahweh is showing us each different interpretations, which could both contain truths, to see if we can disagree and still obey the second most important commandment, to love each other and thereby also obey the first and most important commandment, to love Yahweh with all our heart, being, and strength, by loving his people even if we disagree on some things. But please don't think that I'm suggesting that we should remain united with everyone in fellowship, even those which clearly teach error, such as teaching that continuing in blatant sin and abomination is okay with our Creator. Not at all. We still need to love and pray for them, but we are not called to fellowship with them or participate in their sins once they have been told the truth and have repeatedly rejected it. This is not what I'm suggesting at all. We should still love them and treat them with respect, hoping to win them over by letting His light and love shine through us, but we don't need to fellowship with them or let them think we are in agreement or condone their godless behavior. What I am suggesting, however, is that we should not be dividing over things that are not clearly thou shalt nots or thou shalts. If we are in agreement that Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the creator of the universe and that His word is the rule of law for His kingdom and His children, and especially when we are in agreement that Yeshua is His Son and our Messiah and Redeemer who died for our sins, was buried, and then resurrected on the third day, we should not divide over other differences of doctrinal opinion. We should be able to discuss these differences with respect for one another without letting these differences divide us. The power of the body of Messiah is clearly missing in our time, and especially among those of us professing Torah observance. I have often wondered why. Why aren't we able to lay hands on the sick and have them recover as the first century disciples were able to do? Why aren't we able to cast out demons or raise the dead? Why aren't we even seeing many newly saved believers join our ranks? There are many opinions or thoughts on this flying around out there, from lack of faith, lack of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, or that was only necessary to spread the gospel in the first century, etc. I don't buy that. Yeshua's last words to the disciples before He ascended to the right hand of the Father were, Mark 16:17, "And these signs shall accompany the ones who believe. In My name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with renewed tongues, they shall take up snakes, and if they drink any deadly drink, it shall by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall get well." Perhaps it is a lack of belief in the fact that we should have this power, or perhaps it is because we are focusing on everything else except our belief in this power. Perhaps the differences we have with others are what we are focused on instead of our common belief. We should be coming together in unity of belief in our Messiah and the charge He has given us, the command and power to overcome spiritual principalities and wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12, "Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities, against the world rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavenlies." When we fight against each other, are we not fighting against flesh and blood? But when we instead unite, then perhaps we will be able to fight the spiritual battles that He has already empowered us to win. Let's unite and not fight amongst ourselves. Mark 3:24, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." Luke 11:17, "But He, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth." This is so important if we are to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against sickness and disease, and against those that would keep the word of Yahweh from going forth throughout all the world. On another but somewhat related note is the division that is also taking place in our nations, and especially the United States of America, in recent years. Doesn't it seem that more than ever, the powers that be are trying to divide our nation along racial, ethnic, and political lines? The news and headlines are constantly pitting so-called right against so-called left, conservative against liberal, black against white, man against woman, rural against urban, etc. Think about it, though. What is it that originally united us at the beginning of our nation? We are the United States of America. We were divided or set apart from the other nations of the world by the Declaration of Independence, and then we became a united collection of individual states glued together as a powerful nation from our beginning by the Constitution of the United States, which has been under attack since the very beginning. The words of the Constitution, which were meant to protect our God-given individual rights and liberties, have been whittled away at until our Constitution is becoming not much more than the paper with ink on it. The law of this land that bound us together by protecting us as individuals under the rulership of God Almighty is becoming a mere suggestion subject to the winds of so-called democracy, where these rights can be voted away willy-nilly by 51% of the people. A 51% vote in the cities can take away property and inheritance rights from the other 49% of the country. A 51% vote mostly made up of non-homeowners in a rural town can force homeowners, their neighbors who have sacrificed much and been blessed to own a home, to pay more property tax in support of public amenities utilized by everyone at no charge, or lose their homes. A 51% vote can elect ungodly crooks to represent us in the halls of Congress and the halls of our state capitals. Then these ungodly people go on to vote in favor of raising our unconstitutional direct federal income taxes to pay for ungodly abominations such as taxpayer-funded abortions and overseas wars to enrich the elite globalists and their agendas. They vote increasingly against our inherent right to defend our homes and our families against enemies foreign and domestic by infringing on what the Constitution says shall not be infringed. I could go on, but you get the picture. So just what has happened to our Constitution that was the glue that bound these United States together and protected our God-given rights of life, liberty, justice, and the pursuit of happiness? Perhaps the answer lies with those who profess faith in our Messiah, but then want to say his law is done away with. If the Constitution is the glue that once held our nation together, likewise isn't the word of Yah also the glue that should be holding Messiah's body together? When the Constitution became eroded and watered down, the bonds of these United States have been weakened. Likewise, when the word of Yahweh is watered down, the bonds that hold his body together are also weakened. What is the foundation beneath the Constitution of the United States? What is the main teaching of mainstream and megachurches today? What is modern Christianity's favorite quote that isn't even in the Bible as quoted and certainly not in context? The law is done away with. It was nailed to the cross with Jesus. Think about it. If God's law can be done away with, then whose law do we live by, and what makes us think our Constitution that binds these United States together can't also be done away with? After all, most of its principles are based upon the Creator's laws and right rulings found in the front of the Bible. If the Church, as representing God's people, say that number 4 of the Ten Commandments, or 3 for the Lutherans and Catholics, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, work 6 days and rest on the seventh day, doesn't apply anymore, why should our man-made Constitution fare any better? Maybe we need to scrutinize this doctrine of the Church a little more closely, as I know most of you that are listening to me have. Yeshua also said, "I and my Father are one," in John 10:30. So it would stand to reason that his commandments and his Father's commands are one and the same. After all, doesn't John 1:1-14 tell us Yeshua is the Word of Yahweh made flesh? So, if Yeshua is the Word of Yahweh and is one with Yahweh, and Yahweh says in Malachi 3:6, interestingly, just before the transition to the New Testament, that he changes not, then how can the Word of God, or the Word of Elohim, do away with select parts of the Word of Elohim, let alone some of Elohim's top 10 commandments? Yeshua died for us so that we could live for him, not so that we could eat anything that we want, things that our Creator calls abominations, or do away with any of the Father's laws. Remember, King David, a man after God's own heart, says Elohim's law is perfect in Psalms 19:7. One last thought to ponder. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." This is the one thing that can truly change our country's course. We need a restoration of God's laws, or Elohim's laws, before we can ever see a restoration of our Constitution. And we need unity among believers before we can expect unity among these United States. Shalom, peace, and blessings to all of you and everyone in your homes.